This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to episode 10, lecture 10, from our series titled Change of Heart series. And we are going to have two more lectures after this week, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, and that will be the end of the Change of Heart series. And we're already speaking about the next series, the topic, and where it will be. We will share that with you, inshallah, in due time, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. It's just to let you know, we're moving on to the latter stages of this blessed series, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. And I'm really hopeful that you've enjoyed it as much as I have. So there is an old proverb that says, we cry of having no shoes until we meet a person who has no feet. It seems that the nature of man is such that everything needs to be taken away from him, leaving him, her, left with nothing, for them to then realize the value of what is little. It seems that most people only recognize the value of health when they fall ill. Most will recognize the value of money, even if a minimum wage, when they're left with nothing. It seems that most are only able to recognize the khair, the goodness that Allah has swarmed them with from head to toe, only after that blessing has been taken away from them. And there is another truth that says, man can never flourish, man can never live in a state of well-being and happiness until he learns how to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gratitude is what I want to share with you this evening as part of our Change of Heart series. And one of my teachers, I remember him saying a few years ago that he regrets not giving this topic of gratitude the topic it deserves in his formative years when he was still a young man on the lecture circuit. He said, as I interacted with people at the social level, marital level, the financial level, fatwa level, da'wah level, I came to realize just how transformational this value of shukr, gratitude, is. And the life and afterlife saving properties within it. Gratitude, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the tragedies of modernity is that despite us living in a time whereby no human being has ever possessed as much as we do today, yet we've never experienced a time when people are more ungrateful for what they have than they are today. One of the travesties of modern day life is that it allows years of your life to pass by, decades perhaps, in a coma, in a robot-like living, whereby the moment you leave your house, or you click the very first button on your electronic device, you are swarmed with distractions and desires and appetites. Someone is out there to sell you something and someone is out there to grab your attention. Wherever you look, every turn in life, there is someone advertising something. Modernity is engineered to remind you of desires and appetites that you had in the past. It provokes them. And it even creates desires within you that you never thought you had, so that you become a consumer and you buy. And for this reason, society, these huge mega corporations, are not interested in creating a society that is grateful to Allah. Because contentment and gratitude means that you will not buy And this is not conducive to their economy. So dissatisfaction is engineered intentionally by a lot of them. Restlessness and anxiety is purposeful, so that you're always craving the next fix, the next bit of technology, the next bit of fashion in the industry, the next makeup brand, and you're restless until you attain it. It's always changing. And that's why, as one of them, he said that the fashion industry is so ugly that it has to change every 6 months. And that is true. Think about it. A phone comes out, and overnight, millions of people around the world are in a state of chronic depression because they don't have that phone and they're dissatisfied with their current phone. And that applies to every industry. The point of mentioning this is that if you and I are caught in this cycle, then the very first value in your life that will be crippled is gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be unable to thank Him. And this is what we really would like to speak about on this evening. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Few of my servants are those who are grateful. Few. And of those few were the prophets and messengers of Allah. They were grateful despite the tragedies that they experienced. The Prophet of Allah, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Almighty said about him, Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Ibrahim was an exemplar. Qanitan lillah, obedient to Allah. Hanifa, upright, and he was not of the polytheists. Then Allah said about Ibrahim, Shakiran li an'ami. He was grateful for the favors of Allah. And despite him being instructed to circumcise himself at the age of 80 years old, despite Ibrahim being instructed by Allah to sacrifice, to slaughter his son with his own hands, imagine. Despite him being instructed to migrate on numerous occasions from country to country, continent to continent. Despite him being instructed to drop off his son and the mother of his son Hajar in a barren, lifeless desert. Allah says he was grateful for the favors of Allah upon him. Shukr. And what is even more staggering for me is the gratitude of the Prophet Noah alayhi salatu wasalam, who spent just under a millennium, 950 years, conveying Islam to his people. Just imagine what it means. 950 years back to back conveying Islam to your community. And the outcome, مَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only a few would believe in him. And despite his da'wah costing him his life, his health, his attention, his sleep, his wife and his son, who died in the flood, Allah Almighty praised the Prophet of Allah, Nuh, and he said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. He was a grateful servant of ours. La ilaha illallah. And the most grateful of them all, undoubtedly, was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who would spend, as you know, most of the night in salah, praying till his feet would swell in size and the skin of his feet would crack. And they say to him, why do you do this to yourself? And Allah has already erased all of your sins. What would he say? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah? Should I not thank him for this blessing? لا إله إلا الله. And what is amazing is the attention that the Book of Allah has given the topic of gratitude. Thanks to Allah and hamd, praise of him. It's in the beginning of the Quran, the first quarter of the Qur'an, and halfway down the Qur'an, and then in the last quarter of the Qur'an. There are five chapters in the Book of Allah spaced out. How you just heard, all of them begin with Alhamd, the praise of Allah, Alhamdulillah. What is the first of them? Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, Lord of the Worlds. Then you move to Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6 of the Qur'an, which is the end of the first quarter of the Qur'an. What is the beginning of Surah Al-An'am, my brothers? What is it? Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. All praise is due to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and he made the darkness and the light. Then you move to the middle of the Quran. You have which surah? Surah to Al-Kahf. How does it begin? Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. All praise is due to Allah who brought the book upon His servant. Then you move to the last third of the Quran. You have two back-to-back surahs that begin with hamd, praise. Surah to Saba and Surah to Fatir. Surah to Saba, Allah says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lahu ma fis samawati wal ard. All praise is due to Allah, to whom belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. And then Surah to Fatir after it, Alhamdulillahi fatiris samawati wal ard. All praise is due to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So Allah Almighty loves hamd, praise. And He loves shukr, gratitude. And He has given Himself the name Al-Hamid, the one worthy of praise. And Ash-Shakur, the one who is ever grateful. So Allah Almighty is grateful. And He loves for His servants to characterize themselves with His characteristics according to their human ability. He wants us to be grateful. And the whole Quran is an encouragement for the Muslims to be grateful to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Now we have a question here, which is, what is the difference between hamd, praise of Allah, and shukr, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Any thoughts? Are they even different? Maybe they are the same. What do you think, brothers? Repeat the question. The difference between hamd, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, hamd, and shukr, gratitude. What's the difference between the two, if any? Take a stab at it. Yunus, ايش رايك? Yeah, you're the last person to come in. Yeah. If you are grateful, you are praising Allah. Okay? So you are saying that there is some similarity between them. I mean, you can't go wrong with an answer like that. It's quite similar. Yeah. That's a fail-proof answer. Good. What else?
Could you say that praise is where someone's good at something? So if someone's good at maths, you would praise them for their ability.
Ah.
Then thanks is when whatever disability they have, they help you in some way. So then you thank them for it.
Do you mean? So brother said that praise is... when someone has an inherent quality that's good about them, a quality or a talent or a skill, so you praise them for it. But then shukr is when they confer that skill into a favor to yourself, therefore you offer them gratitude. Very interesting. One more attempt? Yeah, Tahmid. Have you studied this? This came from you? From Allah. Ahsan, that's an excellent answer, mashallah. So I won't repeat it, inshallah, it will be part of the answer I'll give now. Well done. So some of the scholars have said actually there's no difference between them both. They can be used interchangeably, hamd and shukr. Amongst those who said this was Imam al-Qurtubi and Imam al-Tabari. They said alhamd, praise, and shukr, they can be used interchangeably, they have very similar meanings. And the proof is that they say, grammatically speaking, you can say in Arabic, Alhamdulillahi shukra. All praise is to Allah, Alhamdulillahi shukra, out of gratitude to Him. All praise is to Allah, out of gratitude to Him. So they say, because that structuring of a sentence works, it means that they are interchangeable and they are very similar in meaning. Others have said, no, actually that is proof that they are separate in meaning. That one is different to the other. So if we say that they are different, what is the difference between them? Some have said that alhamd, praise, is something that you do verbally. You say alhamdulillah, but ash-shukr is something you do internally with your heart, gratitude, and verbally with your mouth, and practically with your limbs. So when you offer hamd, it's by saying it. Alhamdulillah. All praise is to Allah. But how do you praise Him, practically speaking? They say this is the department of shukr. So hamd is verbal, whereas shukr, gratitude, is verbal, internal, and what? And physical, it's practical. Another one of the differentiation, they say that alhamdu, praise, is usually when the alhamd is with or without a favor. The hamd, the praise of Allah, is with or without a favor. Whereas shukr is something you offer when there is a favor. Do you get it? So, I don't offer you shukr, similar to your answer. I don't offer you shukr, gratitude, only when you've offered me something to thank you about. Without your favor, I can't offer you what? Shukr. Doesn't make sense. As for hamd, praise, this is the hamd of Allah, you praise Him with or without the favor. Yani, theoretically speaking, if we could imagine a situation where Allah has not given you any favors, and this of course is impossible, He would still be worthy of praise. So He gives you favors, you say Alhamdulillah. Assuming He has not given you any favors, you still say Alhamdulillah, Allah is worthy of praise with or without the favor. As for shukr, this is an expression exclusive to those who have what? Conferred a favor. I hope that shows you the distinction between hamd and gratitude and the difference between them. Now we may ask the question, what is in it for me? Assuming we come out of this evening and we become Muslims of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we learn how to do it, and that will be the last heading for this evening. What can you expect in your life? How will Allah Jalla Jalaluhu compensate you? In one of the most beautiful and open-ended ways of the Qur'an that excites imagination and provokes so much happiness, Allah Almighty said, وَسَنَجْزِي الشَّاكِرِينَ. We shall reward the grateful ones. How, O Allah, will you reward them? Nothing was specified in terms of money or health or children or iman or dunya or akhirah. It was open-ended. We shall be the ones who will reward the grateful ones. It was left open-ended to show you everything can be encompassed. And I will give you examples of what gratitude to Allah encompasses in terms of a reward. This is for you if you're willing to grab it and act upon it. Number one, it encompasses the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Don't take that sentence lightly. Why are you here? Is it not for the search of the pleasure of Allah and your salah and the lowering of your gaze and the protection of your private parts and your marriage, and all of the salah and the siyam you do? What are you searching for? You are searching for His acceptance. You are searching for His pleasure. And Allah said, وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you are grateful, He will be pleased with you. Look how in Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9, when Allah describes paradise, what does He say towards the end? وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. But the acceptance of Allah is greater. The pleasure of Allah is better than Jannah. And that's why when the people of paradise are enjoying the pleasures of Jannah, they hear an announcement from Allah who says to them, are you satisfied? They will say, how can we not be satisfied? You've given us all of this. Allah will say, I'm about to give you a favor that is greater than all of this. أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَبَدًا. I will now be pleased with you forever. Never shall I be displeased with you. لا إله إلا الله. So what does Allah offer those who are grateful to Him? He offers them His acceptance and pleasure. In fact, who is the most disliked person in the eyes of Allah? He is the kafir. And a kafir, we translate it loosely as disbeliever. But linguistically speaking, what is a kafir? From the root word kafara, which means to cover something, to cover your knowledge of Allah and to cover the favors of Allah. So a kafir linguistically means the ungrateful one. That's what a kafir is, the ungrateful one. And this appears in the Quran a lot. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا. Have you not seen those who have made the favor of Allah as kufr, meaning they denied it, they covered it, they were ungrateful for it. So if the one whom Allah dislikes the most is the kafir, meaning the ungrateful one, who is the favored person in the eyes of Allah? Who is the dearest of them all? He is the shakir, the grateful one. So this is the first thing to expect. the pleasure of Allah, the ultimate prize and the greatest ambition of any Muslim. Number two, you are to expect a safety from the punishment of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is because Allah said, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Why would Allah punish you if you are grateful and you are believers? Why would He punish you? And I love the words of Abu al-Aliyah from the Tabi'een, who said, إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بَيْنَ نِعْمَةٍ حَمِدَ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهَا وَبَيْنَ مَعْصِيَةٍ تَابَ مِنْهَا. I am hopeful that no one will have to suffer, he said, so long as you are in one of two states. You are in the favor of Allah, thanking Him for it, or you are in a sin, repenting to Allah from it. He said, so long as you are oscillating between one of these two states, enjoying a favor of Allah, you're saying, Alhamdulillah. Or you are in a sin, but then you say, Astaghfirullah. He says, I am hopeful no one will have to suffer if they are in one of those two states. So number one, we said by way of Allah's acceptance. Number two, by way of Allah's safety from His punishment. And number three, the one who is grateful is to expect a preservation in what he or she possesses and an increase in those things that they don't. And that is why Allah has announced, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah has announced, if you are grateful, I will increase you. A promise from Allah. It's already been dispatched. So long as you say, Alhamdulillah, greatness is coming your way. Think about those things that are dear to you. Think about those things you wish to preserve, be it your health, be it your money, be it your reputation, be it your iman, be it your wife, the righteousness of your children, your mom and dad, your job, whatever it may be. What is dear to you? You can put it in a safe space. That safe space is called shukr, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only will it preserve what you possess, it will increase you in what you don't. La ilaha illallah. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. What else can the one who is grateful expect? We said, what was number one? Remind us, Malik. The acceptance and pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Number two, Ahmed, safety from His punishment. Number three, Yunus. Ameen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the preservation of what you have and an increase in what you don't. What else can you expect? This is number four. You can expect marital harmony. And a lot of you will say, that's a little bit random. Why are you cramming that one here? Right? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm mentioning it because of its importance. And the reality is this. No marriage can endure, and listen to this, my young brothers, my young sisters who are yet to be married, and those who are married as well will benefit. No marriage can endure if gratitude is lacking in that relationship. And in my short experience, dealing with families who are going through hell from a marital perspective, much of their issues can be traced back to this. There is a lack of gratitude from one or the other or both. And I know you will say that I'm able to give you a long list of negative traits in my wife and my husband. He is this and she is that and he is this and she is that. I know. But then if I was to ask you to enumerate all of the positive traits that you know of your wife or your husband, could you be able to enumerate them? Most of us, if we are honest, will say no. But this is the reality, that you forget that had any other man or woman seen the blessing that you are in with your spouse and whom Allah has placed for you as a wife or a husband, they would fall to their knees behind closed doors, begging Allah Almighty for a fraction of the blessing that you've been blessed with your wife or husband. But this is the way of shaitan always, with those who are ungrateful. Always convincing them that the grass will be somehow greener on the other side. And so eyes wander and gazes are not lowered. and discontentment sets in, and you begin to think, no, so long as you're wearing the blinkers of ingratitude, you will never be able to see the khair that you have. And the grass will never be greener on the other side of the fence for yourself, so long as you stay ungrateful. So marital harmony is another one of the blessings Allah gives those who say, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, I am content with what I have, I am happy with what He has given me. And number five, those who are grateful can expect from Allah a flourishing, happiness, well-being in every one of the departments of life. See, you know so many people who have every reason to be miserable, yet they are happy. Why? Because of gratitude. And you know people who have every reason to be happy, yet they're miserable. Why? Because of ingratitude. So what have we just discovered? We discovered that it is not happiness that makes you grateful. It is gratitude that makes you happy. And I'll show you a demonstration. Look at a conversation between an ungrateful and a grateful one. And you tell me who is happier from them both. One of them says, this is the ungrateful one. Life is tough. My house is so damp. But then the happily grateful one turns around and says, yeah, but most of it is okay. Alhamdulillah. The ungrateful one says, my house is so small, I'm suffocated. I can't be living in these four walls anymore. But the happily grateful one turns around and says to him, but it's a roof over your head. And it's a protection from the elements. It's a private space for you and your loved ones. It's a space for you to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it not? Say Alhamdulillah. One of them, the ungrateful one, he says, I'm poor. I've got nothing to my name. I've been on benefits. I've been on universal credit now for the last 5-10 years. I just can't get out of this circle. What do? I have nothing. I'm poor. I can't even make ends meet. I can't live like this. But then the happily grateful one says to him, oh, you're poor, is it? Well, give me a price for your kidneys. How much will you sell them to me for? 10,000 pounds. 20. What about the price for your liver? How much? 200,000 pounds. How much will you sell me your eyesight for? What about your hearing? What about your ability to articulate yourself in a clear and concise way? How much will you sell that for? What about those enzymes that work flawlessly around the clock in your body with no instruction from yourself? How much will you sell them for? What about your epiglottis that flaps shut, that bit of cartilage at the back of your throat when you swallow food or you drink water? If it wasn't for that bit of cartilage, you'd suffocate from any bit of food or water that goes down your windpipe instead of your food pipe. How much will you sell that for? Your ability to go to sleep without injecting yourself or swallowing pills, how much will you sell that for? What about your ability to purify yourself from the bathroom in a dignified and independent way without the help of anybody else? How much will you sell that for? What about the gift of Islam that Allah Almighty has given you free of charge? How the religion is so fair-seeming and beautiful in your eyes, yet your neighbor detests the same religion of yours. How much will you sell that for? So let's put that all together and add it up. Then we see your net worth. You realize you're a multi-trillionaire. But shaitan, he only ever shows us the things that we don't have. And a person like that will stay poor for the rest of his life. Why? Because he's ungrateful. Say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So these are five things that you can expect for a person who is grateful. Shakir. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pleasure of Allah, safety from His punishment, a preservation of what you have and an increase in what you don't have, marital harmony and happiness in every one of the walks of life. Now we ask the question, how is gratitude fostered? So you say, this is a done deal for me. I definitely want to be one who is grateful to Allah. And I've come to realize to what extent I have been far away from proper gratitude to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and just how much I complain. I need to sort this out. What do I do to be grateful in the eyes of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? I will suggest for you several steps, brothers and sisters, and for myself. Now, just before I begin, Some of these steps I'll be sharing with you, perhaps only the first two, they are mentioned by non-Muslims. But we have shawahid for them, evidences for them in our Sharia. And I found, subhanAllah, that contemporary theorists, motivational speakers and life coaches, psychologists have spoken about the topic of gratitude so much. Everyone is talking about shukr. They don't tell you shukr to who, because it's unfashionable now to talk about gratitude to God, because you can't assume that people are believers in God. You can't assume that the man in front of you is a man. Maybe he identifies as a woman. So these basic assumptions now are no more. So you're left confused thinking gratitude, but to who? I'll speak about that in a moment. But nevertheless, there is definitely value, even in non-Muslim literature, about the topic of gratitude. Our religion, however, offers that which is exemplary, and its theories are always superior. Here's number one. When you wake up in the morning, jot down on your phone or on a piece of paper or even just in your mind several things that you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about. Write them down. People have said our lives have changed just by carrying out this one exercise. Wake up in the morning and you think shukr, gratitude. And the idea then is that gratitude will be the thought that will influence your attitude for the rest of the day, because that's how you began your day when you opened your eyes. And amazingly, this was the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our Prophet, who would wake up in the morning and his very first words that would emanate from his blessed mouth when he would open his blessed eyes were, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, alladhi afani fi jasadi, who has given me well-being in my body, wa radda ilayya ruhi, and has returned to me my soul, wa adhina li bi dhikrih, and has given me permission to remember him. His first words were words of hamd. That is number one. Begin your day with hamd and the shukr, the thanks and praise of Allah jalla jalaluhu. Number two, throughout your day, take a moment to enjoy the experiences of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you. To contemplate over them. To not allow any of them to pass without reflection. So you're walking to work, you're going through a park, you're doing your shopping. Resist the urge to gape into your phone and look around the perfect creation of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and how He has furnished the world for your comfort, well-being and ibadah worship. And say Alhamdulillah. Do that all throughout your day, such that your go-to word is always Alhamdulillah wherever you look. And again, you look into our tradition and you see just that. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in a state of hamd, praise of Allah, every one of the moments of the day. He'd wake up in the morning. What would he say? Here is another dhikr. Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. All praises to Allah who gave us life after we were dead, and to him is the resurrection. Alhamdulillah. Then he would put on his clothes. What would he say? Allahumma lakal hamdu anta kasawtani. All praises to Allah. You clothed me with this. And then he would finish his food. What would he say? Alhamdulillahi alladhi kafana wa arwana ghayra makfiyin wala makfur. All praises to Allah who has fulfilled our needs and quenched our thirst. We don't deny your favor, O Allah, nor can we ever repay it. Alhamd, 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 alhamd. And then he would walk out of the bathroom, alayhi salatu wassalam. What would he say? Alhamdulillahi alladhi أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. All praises to Allah who removed harm from me and gave me well-being. Then if he was to see a handicapped person, a disabled individual, what would he say to himself? الحمد لله الذي عافاني مما ابتلاك به وفضلني على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا. All praises to Allah who has saved me from what he has afflicted you with, and he has given me a great blessing over many other of his creation. And then when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would achieve a matter, what would he say? Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. All praises to Allah. Through his favor, all good things happen. And if he failed to achieve a matter, what would he say? What would he say, my brothers? Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. All praises to Allah in all circumstances. So we said, number one, you wake up in the morning and your attitude is one of shukr and hamd and praise to Allah. And you list those things. Try that exercise and see what follows. Number two, all throughout your day, be aware. Be in a state of cognition. You are aware. And that's why, by the way, in the Quran, there is this link between the remembrance of Allah, remembering Him, and then being grateful to Him. How can you be grateful if you're not thoughtful of Him? And that's why the Quran said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. Then he said, وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And be grateful to me and do not deny my favors. Look at the link between remember me and show gratitude to me, because the former leads to the latter. So number two, we said, you are in a state of awareness. All throughout your day, you're cognizant of the world around you, and you say, Alhamdulillah, in the wake of everything that comes your way. Number three, this is similar to number two, engage in hamd frequently. Alhamdulillah. Get yourself used to saying that word. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as At-Tirmidhi narrates in his Sunan on the authority of Jabir, he said, أَفْضَلُ الذِّكْرِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَفْضَلُ الشُّكْرِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. The best remembrance is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the best shukr, gratitude you can offer, is Alhamdulillah. And Muslim narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أفضل الكلام عند الله أو أحب الكلام عند الله. The most beloved of words to Allah is Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah and La ilaha illallah and Allahu Akbar. He said, لا يضرك بأيهن بدأت. It doesn't matter which one you want to begin with. Alhamdulillah. And I remember a beautiful narration here, Subhanallah, about this topic of hamd. Praising Allah Jalla Jalala, attributed to Ja'far, son of Ali, son of Al-Husayn, son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who said that my father, so Ja'far al-Sadiq is speaking about his father Muhammad, he said, my father lost a camel. And he was very distressed by this. And so he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns my camel to me, I am going to praise him in a way that will make him pleased with me. I will praise him in a very special way if he returns my camel. He said, not long passed, and his camel came back with all of its furnishing and all of its equipment. So he mounted the back of the camel and he put his clothes together. He looked into the heavens and now he's about to start this marvelous praise of Allah and thanks to him, and he said, Alhamdulillah. And that was it. So they said to him, you are talking about this thunderous praise that you're going to give to Allah, and you said, Alhamdulillah. He said, هَلْ أَبْقَيْتُ شَيْئًا هَلْ تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا. Did I leave something out? Did I omit anything in praising Allah? جَعَلْتُ الْحَمْدَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. After all, I have made all praise to Allah. He understood that when you say Alhamdulillah, the praise is for Allah, it means you are saying no one deserves praise but Allah Jalla Jalalu. So the statement of hamd is heavy and weighty, my brothers and sisters. Engage in it and make it your go-to statement when you're on the verge of complaining or whining. Say Alhamdulillah, bring it from your heart. This is number what? This is number three. Number four, for those who want to display shukr to Allah, learn about the prostration of gratitude. It's very simple. Sajdatul shukr, the prostration of gratitude to Allah. Have you heard about it? It was the practice of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when good news would come to him, or he was relieved of a terrible matter, he would fall into prostration to Allah, offer one sajda. You don't necessarily need to be in a state of wudu, nor do you need to face the Qibla for it, according to many of the scholars, because they say it is not salah, it's not a prayer, it is a prostration. So one prostration to say thanks to Allah Jalla Jalalu. And this is what Ka'b ibn Malik, the companion, did of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when news was conveyed to him that Allah has forgiven you for the sin that he committed. And Allah revealed verses from chapter 9 saying that Allah has pardoned him. So when Ka'b ibn Malik heard the announcement, "Oh Ka'b ibn Malik, the boycott has ended of you and your two other friends," he said, "I fell on my face in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And similarly, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he saw the prophetic sign amongst the corpses after the battle of Nahrawan, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told him about, which will be a sign that you had in fact fought the rebels, the Khawarij. When he found the sign amongst their dead, he prostrated to Allah in gratitude. And likewise, Al-Hasan al-Basri, when news was conveyed to him that the tyrant Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi had died, he fell into prostration in thanks to Allah. So get used to doing that. Number what? Number five. I want you to focus on this one, dear brothers and sisters, before we conclude and wrap up with the sixth. This perhaps is one of the most important contributions of our religion to the topic of shukr, gratitude, the avoidance of sins. And I want you to focus on this with me for a moment. Because what is the value of someone saying, "Ashukru lillah, alhamdulillah," when his words, her words, don't match with their actions? And that's why some of our predecessors defined gratitude as being abstinence from sins. That was their definition of shukr, gratitude. Makhlad ibn Hussein, he said, "Kana yuqalu shukru ni'mati tarku al-ma'asi." He said, it used to be said in the past, gratitude for blessings is to stay away from sins. Gratitude for Allah's blessings is, by definition, staying away from sins. And that is because gratitude has three pillars. Tahmid, you alluded to it earlier. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, three pillars to gratitude. What are they? In his book, Madarij al-Salikin. Beautiful words. He said, "Ash-shukru yakunu bil qalbi khudu'an wa istikanatan wa yakunu bil lisani thana'an wa i'tirafan wa yakunu bil jawarihi ta'atan wa inqiyada." He says gratitude is number one in the heart in terms of its submission to Allah. Number two, gratitude is with your words in terms of acknowledging His favors, praising Allah. And then gratitude is in your limbs in terms of complying with the religion of Allah. So let's just rewind and unpack those three for a moment. What was number one? Where is gratitude, ya shabab? Wasif, where is gratitude? In the heart. In terms of what? Submission, humility, acknowledging it is from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And by the way, it's very important to note here how our religion says gratitude is for Allah. In the secular modern world today, they talk about gratitude. Be grateful. Grateful to who? They don't tell you that bit. Be grateful. Grateful to who and for what? And if my grandmother makes me a delicious pie, as some of the commentators have said, non-Muslims, my grandmother makes me a pie, I thank her for making me the pie. But then who do I thank for the general circumstances of life? Who do I thank for that? And that's why the secular Thanksgiving-flavored gratitude is a very fuzzy one and it's not clear. Our religion says, no, let's make it very clear. You are grateful and the object of gratitude is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that's why he said, "Wama bikum min ni'matin famin Allah." Any favor you have, Allah said, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first pillar. That you recognize internally that your favor is from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That's gratitude, pillar number one. Pillar number two, in terms of what you say, it now has to appear in your speech. Thana'an wa'tirafan, praising Allah and acknowledging Him for his favors. What does Allah say to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran? Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. As for the favor of Allah, speak about it. Speak about it. Talk about it. And that's why Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he said, تَذَاكَرُ النِّعَمْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَهَا شُكُرٌ. Speak about the favors of Allah with one another, because speaking about them is gratitude. Speaking about them is gratitude. That's number two. Acknowledging his favors, like what we are doing now, inshaAllah. And then you have the third pillar, which is what? And this is why we are bringing this statement up. The gratitude of the limbs, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. You translate your inner gratitude into a practical reality. What is the value of saying, Alhamdulillah for the blessing of eyesight, and then you go and you gape at flesh that you know should be covered? That is a contradiction, and that is a misalignment between your words and your actions. It's an empty Alhamdulillah. Or brother who says, Alhamdulillah for the rizq he's given me, the provisions, the money, the house, the cars, the business. Yet his business is all sourced from the prohibited and the impure sources of money through intoxication or drugs or cigarettes or alcohol or riba. And you say, Alhamdulillah, who are you praising and for what? Because there is no alignment between what you say and what you are doing. Gratitude is with the limbs as well, not just with what we say. And that's why the Quran is very clear. It said, اعملوا آل داوود شكرا. O family of David, Allah said, work good deeds out of gratitude. What did he say? Work good deeds to show gratitude. And what does Allah say in Surah Al-Anfal? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Have taqwa, be cautious of Allah so that you may be grateful. Be cautious of Allah, stay within the limits of his religion, practical shukr, gratitude, so that you may be grateful in the eyes of Allah Jalla Jalala. And we know of nations that were wiped off the map because they didn't show this practical gratitude. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً. Allah has given the example of a city that was safe and at peace. يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Its provisions were coming to it in abundance from all places. MashaAllah. What did they do? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. But it was ungrateful for the favors of Allah. So what happened? فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. So Allah made them taste the extremes of hunger and fear because of what they used to do. Gratitude has to be what you show to Allah, what you do for Allah, what you present to Allah, how you dress for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you gaze, who you talk to, your relationships, your business. This is where the real gratitude is. Show Allah practically what you mean when you say Alhamdulillah, and allow there to be an alignment between what you say and what you do. Then Allah will appreciate your gratitude. Then you access all of those favors that we spoke about earlier. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, I mean, we finished. But what I want to say really is, and to leave you with this, don't be that person. Don't be that person who awaits a calamity in his or her life to realize just how indebted you've always been to Allah. Don't wait for a blessing to be withheld from you or even taken away for you then to realize just how blessed you were not too long ago. Don't be that person. Don't be like that person who is trapped into an elevator. He's now breathing damp and hot air. Now he's getting a little bit wheezy and lightheaded, and it's getting dangerous, it's critical now, and he's stuck and he's afraid. And 30 minutes later, the rescue team come and the doors open and he inhales cold, beautiful, pure air, and he says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, I can breathe again. Alhamdulillah for the blessing of breathing. Hold on a minute. What are you praising Allah for? What are you thanking Him for? You're thanking Him for a blessing that you've had all throughout your life. But it needed to be withheld from you for half an hour. and then returned to realize just how indebted you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that person who sustains a head injury, and then for a moment they can't see, they think they've gone blind, and they panic. And then 30 minutes later, they're batting their eyelids, and alhamdulillah, they can see again. And they say, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah for the gift of seeing. What are you thanking Him for? You're thanking Him for a blessing that you've always had, you've always been able to see. But it needed to be withheld from you for half an hour, and then returned to you, to then remind you that you should have been grateful all along. Then apply that to your feet, and apply that to your ears, and apply that to your enzymes, and apply that to every bit of blessing that Allah Almighty has conferred upon you. It's endless. It's endless. So don't be this person who needs to have a blessing withdrawn from him or her for them to realize, Ya Allah, I should have said Alhamdulillah, and I should have proven it practically. Then force yourself to be a positive and grateful person. That may mean that you need to restructure your sentences when speaking. So you're there, your spouse or your friend or whoever provides you food, and you say, God, that meal was horrible. No, Alhamdulillah, the meal was fine. Alhamdulillah. After all, so many people on this evening have no food. And so many people will not have milk in their fridges this evening. In fact, so many people don't even have fridges. Alhamdulillah. Be that person. And as the old proverb says, and we began with this, that we cry of having no shoes until we meet someone who has no feet. And sometimes everything has to be taken away from a person, leaving him with nothing, for them to start realizing the value of what is little. And it is also another truth that says, man cannot be happy until he learns how to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Alhamdulillah, brothers. Say Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. 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 Alhamdulillah for the gift of Islam. Alhamdulillah for the gift of brotherhood. Alhamdulillah for the gift of well-being. Alhamdulillah for the gift of sanity. Alhamdulillah for the gift of knowing Him. Alhamdulillah for the gift of the masjid. Alhamdulillah for what we know, and Alhamdulillah for what we do not know. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.